The village at Sabbath Day Lake itself is not surprising. An 18th century New England colony of red barns and white meeting houses clustered around a four-story homestead where the last three living Shakers in the world reside. If the village is what you'd expect to find, the Shakers themselves are not. Michael Graham, who is not a Shaker, is the director at Sabbath Day Lake.
The general preconceived notion about the Shakers is that they are otherworldly, that it's a very stern, simplistic, austere life. Brother Arnold told me 20 years ago that the Shakers have always been ordinary people attempting to live an extraordinary life.
In the basement of the dwelling house, Sister Frances checks her cats.
One was gurgling, so I thought he was having a problem.
87 years old and hard of hearing, Sister Frances hums as she passes by the kitchen, where Brother Arnold runs water over this evening's meal.
Actually, mussels. They had a great buy on them.
Brother Arnold makes all the meals. He rises at 6, breakfast is at 7:30, prayers follow, and then it's off to the barns.
We have 41 sheep at the moment, and we have 6 cows and 3 pigs, and 2 barn cats, to be fair.
In a forest green sweater and tan work pants, Brother Arnold dresses like someone you'd see at the grocery store. And any idea that the Shakers shun the outside world is quickly dispelled.
Well, a lot of people think we're just like the Amish. I first came here... Oh, I'm sorry. This was on.
See, I think people would probably think that you wouldn't have a cell phone.
Yeah, I kind of wish that I didn't.
Michael Graham.
It drives him crazy. The phone, constantly, text messages, phone calls. He's never free.
Who's always texting him?
Me.
Brother Arnold Skypes and Googles. And at night, he and the two sisters watch television. Michael Graham thinks these modern habits helped keep the living Shakers off the public radar. But Brother Arnold believes that's about to change.
Something started in July, and it was very kind of quiet whisper, but there's something that's coming down for us. So we just have to be open to it, be humble, and be ready to accept whatever that gift is God's going to give us.
To that end, when a local company, Chilton Furniture, floated the idea of bringing a Shaker chair back into production, the Shakers readily agreed, with one caveat. Chilton had to find the right chair maker. Chilton General Manager Nate Gobiel says that search ended when they found Adam Nudd Homeyer making his Shaker-style tappan chairs at the Sandwich Fair.
Adam is very unique. He just does things, you know, in a fantastic style. I mean, he does a historic building of the furniture.
In a room lined with 150-year-old Shaker rockers and furniture, Brother Arnold waits for Adam to present his prototype chair, modeled after an 1830s Alfred Shaker ladderback.
Where's your chair?
Out in the car. You want me to go get it?
Please, I want to see it.
As Adam departs, Brother Arnold returns to the kitchen for more dinner prep and tells his own story. A self-professed child of the 70s, his interest in communal life brought him here first in 1974. He loved the lifestyle, but...
I didn't want to be a Shaker, because I was perfectly happy being a visitor and being here and enjoying the life and everything else, with none of the constraints and none of the responsibility.
It was Brother Ted who finally convinced the 20-something Arnold had that he'd regret not giving the Shaker life a try.
You know, a lot of people think it's celibacy that's the biggest problem, but you've already come to an understanding of that before you join. But the real communal nature and being obedient, that's something that seems esoteric when you think about it, but it's a very practical and a very real thing when you're here.
Putting the group before himself, not doing what he wanted, when he wanted, was not easy.
And I wasn't all right with that, by the way, at first. I was not all right with that. I thought it was stupid. And I would try to argue it out, but I found out very early on you don't argue that out. So we'll let that go, but I still grumbled.
Adam returns with his prototype, a simple, striking, high-back chair with a weave tape seat.
That's very, very true to the original. He made it a little taller to be more proportioned to taller people than what this one was meant for. A little slightly higher seat, but not much. It's beautiful, Adam.
Really, thank you.
It's really fun work.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
It's really special. I mean,
I'm really pleased.
Adam takes notes as Brother Arnold makes small adjustments to the finials and scribe marks. But the changes are small, and all agree that Adam's Shaker chairs can begin retailing in the spring. For his part, Adam can't quite believe it.
I get a lot of that I'm not worthy sort of feeling is what it comes down to. Like, people build Shaker replicas for their life as woodworkers, and yet I'm the one who gets to do this.
While the Shakers will be compensated for every chair sold by Chilton, making money isn't the main reason they agreed to do this. Because what the Shakers really want is more Shakers.
Is there some hope that other people will come and join?
Well, sure. It's our fervent prayer. Every single day, whoever has charge of the prayers will make mention of our need for new vocations.
But chairs first. And then, Brother Arnold and Sister Francis and Sister June pray new Shakers to sit in them. For NHPR, I'm Sean Hurley.
And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight.